Thank you for checking out Real Talk Personal Finance. Shit's about to get real. Cashflow King with you again today. And today in episode 8, Travel Hacking with Credit Cards, we have a very special guest, Travel Queen, that will be joining us. Before we welcome her to the show, just a quick couple of shout outs to everybody. We are a fairly new show, as most of you are aware, and we can see the different locations where people are listening from. So I just want to give a shout out because I don't know a single soul in San Diego, California. So shout out to the listeners in San Diego, California, one of the most widely downloaded locations for the United States, and we are a U.S. show. Also want to welcome the listeners that are international, and we have listeners so far in Mexico, Australia, Japan, and most recently, Pakistan. So thank you to everybody who listens to the show. And if you're not in one of those locations, we certainly appreciate you and we appreciate a share. So definitely try to get the listens up in your local area and maybe we'll give a shout out to your city and state or your country on one of the upcoming shows. Today's show, again, is going to be on travel hacking and talking about different types of travel rewards, which I used to think was bullshit, quite frankly. And I've heard people talk about taking this trip or that trip and using credit cards to do it and churning credit cards. And as a lot of you know, if you've been listening to the show for any length of time, I am a licensed and credentialed financial advisor. And I used to think this is a bunch of horseshit. Recently, not only have I been doing this myself now for several years, which we'll talk about throughout the show with our guest today, but recently there was an article that came out in the advisor community on incorporating travel rewards and travel rewards redemptions with clients when you talk with them about their vacation plans and cash flow planning and things of that nature. And not all of us focus on the cash flow planning side of things. Many advisors out there just maybe focus on one particular area, but even for something as narrow as retirement planning, or more specifically retirement income planning, and clients that are wanting to travel and spend a bunch of money and do a bunch of different things, this actually is something that is becoming more and more widely discussed. And so I thought it would be great to have a show to talk about some of those things. Personally, I now have not paid for a flight other than the government 9/11 fees of, I believe it's $11.20 for two people round trip on Southwest Airlines. I personally haven't paid for a flight in over 3 years. And anyway, we're going to hear more from our guests today. So please welcome to the show, Travel Queen.
Thank you, Cashflow King, for having me on your show today. I would like to say the biggest win that I had this past year was flying my husband, myself, and my daughter round trip to Aruba for $270.
$270. I don't know what you can buy. I don't think you can buy a single domestic airline plane ticket for one person today for $270. That's fantastic. Those are a couple of the little spoilers we're going to give you guys as the listeners in terms of what we're going to be discussing today as far as wins and how do you do this and what are some other examples and is this a fucking scam? Like, what does this actually look like? Before we get into that, I do want to spend a little bit of time just talking about pros and cons of applying for credit cards. And so I will start out by saying, and Travel Queen will probably agree with this, that this may not be for everybody. You have to have a certain solid financial foundation before you can really think about doing something like this. So if you are in credit card debt or any type of crazy high interest rate debt, payday loans and things like that, this probably isn't for you. As much and as fantastic as these rewards and redemptions are that we're going to talk about in today's show, none of that is worth it if you are carrying high interest rate balances on these cards. So the disclaimer to everybody, you have been warned, this is a fantastic thing to get into if it fits your situation, and it may not fit your situation today, it may fit your situation down the road, and if you have to wait a little while, that's fine. But the big disclaimer is you must, absolutely must, pay off your card balance in full every month without exception. I'll say it again, you must pay off your credit card balance in full every single cycle with no exception. You do not want to carry a balance because these rewards, if you are carrying a balance and paying high interest rates, are simply not worth it. Now, with that said, if you as the listener are financially responsible and you're just looking for a way to get more value out of the money that you're already spending and get a better bang for your buck, you're going to freaking love today's show. It's going to be fantastic. So real quick, before we get into some of the credit card offers out there and kind of what it's all about, just want to talk about the pros and cons to applying for credit card. There will be a hard credit pull. This is not something that you typically want to do right before a major purchase, especially if you're buying a home or piece of real estate. You don't want to apply for a credit card immediately before applying for a mortgage. So you need to keep that in mind. And there will be a short-term ding to your credit score. It may go down a few points initially, but over the longer term, it's really, in the grand scheme of things, a nothing burger. That's something just to keep in mind as we're talking about some of these cards, because some people say, well, you know, I heard that you shouldn't open and close different cards, and I heard that, you know, your credit, length of credit history has some things to do with your score. And a lot of that can be true in certain situations. But again, if you're doing this from a standpoint of financial strength and stability, in the long run, it's really not going to be that big of an issue for you. So we're going to talk next about what to look for in credit card offers. And when we're talking about credit card offers, there's several different cards that exist. And there's two primarily that I'm going to cover today. And then Travel Queen has at least a couple of cards, and she actually uses some of the cards that we're going to talk about that I'm going to describe. But she also has some additional cards that she uses. And the reason that I want her on the show is that she is way more advanced at this stuff, as the name implies, than I am. I kind of go by the whole 80-20 rule, right? I want to just, you know, give me a couple of cards, the meat and potatoes, and give me the most benefit, the major benefits, and I might miss a couple things, and I might, you know, that's okay. And she really takes it to the next level, as you'll see when we get a little bit further in the show and she goes into some of her trips that she's taken and what she looks for and how she does this. It's actually pretty mind-boggling. I'm sure I'm going to learn some stuff throughout today's show from her as well. As far as the credit card offers, really the value is in the sign-up bonuses for the most part. So every card is going to be a little bit different, but the sign-up bonuses, where if you spend so much money within a fairly short period of time, you can get these fairly large bonuses, tax-free, by the way. But then what do you do with the card after that? And we may get into a little bit of a discussion. I know that she likes to open and close certain cards. I have a tendency to like to keep cards around a little bit longer depending on the card. So it's going to be a little bit different across the board. But the main thing that you have to realize is that it really is all about the sign-up bonus. Before I get further into that, Travel Queen, do you have anything to add so far about pros and cons to applying for cards? Or just, I know before you cover your cards and the sign-up bonuses on your cards, did I miss anything in general so far?
I was just going to add that when my husband and I got together, initially his credit was less than desirable, I should say. But when we signed up for the first credit card, the Chase Sapphire, and where I keep it paid off, it's honestly benefited his credit quite a bit instead of hurt it.
Did you put him on as an authorized user then, or did you say you had him apply for the card itself?
No, he's an authorized user, but where I keep it paid down, the balance paid off, it's really helped his credit in the long run.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's true, especially with available credit. As far as your credit utilization ratio, how much credit is available, and then how much is used on a cycle-to-cycle or monthly basis, that definitely can boost your score. So that's cool. Yeah, that's something I wouldn't even have thought of. Anything else? I miss anything else?
No, I think you pretty much covered it.
Let's talk a little bit about, let's start with that one. You mentioned the Chase Sapphire Preferred. That's a card I know that we both have, and it's definitely a good one. They've actually enhanced it relatively recently. I did a little bit of research before the show today, and this is a card that, in the cards that we're going to talk about, or at least the two that I'm going to mention, and then Travel Queen, I'm sure on the ones that she's going to talk about, for the most part would be considered what a lot of places will call premium cards. I remember when I had moved to a new location across the country, and I went into the local bank, actually happened to be a Chase bank, and went to just open a checking account. And they were trying to sell me these credit cards. This is back before I started doing this stuff. And I'm like, this is freaking ridiculous. And the girl behind the desk, one of the personal bankers, is like, you know, you could pay this annual fee and you get this and this and this. And I have this card and I have that card. And I'm like, bullshit, this lady's just trying to sell me something, you know. And come to find out down the line, these premium cards, that's where the money is. Now, yes, we'll talk about this as we go through the show. There can be, and oftentimes are, annual fees associated with these cards. But when you understand how to utilize them in the right way, I mean, it's only, you know, you as the listener have to decide whether or not that's going to be worth it for you. But there's a tremendous amount of financial value in using these cards. And so starting with the Sapphire Preferred, it is a premium card. There is an annual fee associated with it, but if you use it in the right way, that fee can be well worth the quote-unquote expense, if you want to call it that. And so I'm looking here at the current offer that I saw on the Sapphire Preferred, where they will give you 60,000 bonus points after you spend so much money in the first 3 months. This one happens to be $4,000 in the first 3 months. Now, we're probably going to get into this a little bit later about how to earn the bonus points, so I may be getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but this does not mean go out and spend $4,000 on a bunch of shit that you were not going to buy, right? We're talking about, for the most part, basic everyday living expenses and channeling different purchases to different cards at different times in order to hit these signup bonuses. And with this particular card, the bonus amount in and of itself is the equivalent to about $750 worth of value. So you're paying $95 to get back $750, and that's only on the bonus amount of the points. Travel Queen, I want to open this up. Let's talk. I'm going to go a little bit off the outline here. I know we have an outline for the show, but I'm going to deviate a little bit. Let's have a little dialogue about this Sapphire Preferred card and what are some of the things that you like about it, and why would you consider this just an absolute must-have in terms of your credit card portfolio, if you want to call it a credit card portfolio?
Yes. I know that you had mentioned that I like to open credit cards and close them just to get the bonus value out of them. But the Chase Sapphire is something that I've never closed because I end up making so much more money off of it than it's really worth the annual fees. The first year that I had it, actually, I didn't have a clue as to what I was doing. So I didn't know how to use the portal to use all my points towards travel. And I just earned so many points. And I was like, I have like $680 worth of points in here. So I just cashed them out for cash at the end of the year instead of using them for travel, because I didn't know at the time that I could get 25% more of that amount towards travel. So let's say, just for an example, right now I have, let's see, I have 30,561 points. If I use that towards travel, it's worth 25% more, which is $382. So had I used the $680, I would have gotten a lot more out of it if I'd have put it towards travel. But being young and naive, I had no idea how to use this credit card. I'm just earning tons of points and not using them properly. But that's my favorite part about using it now, is I use the portal, I use it towards flights and stuff and earn more value for my points. And it definitely pays the annual fee. It definitely pays for itself way beyond the 90 something dollars.
Yeah. So it's 95 on this particular card. There is a Sapphire Reserve card, which is a little bit different, and the annual fee on that one's significantly higher, but I think we're both talking about Sapphire Preferred here. But yeah, so there's the bonus offer, right? 60,000 points, which if you redeem for cash is basically $600. And if you use it through the portal, which we'll talk about as we go through the show, you can get, like the Travel Queen said, you know, an extra 25% in value. So that takes that 600 and bumps it up to about 750. All right. So the other thing that they've added, and Travel Queen actually pointed this out to me before the show, I had it printed out, but it's something I probably would have forgotten to mention. Something as simple as an annual Ultimate Rewards hotel credit. So you have a $95 fee on this card. Let's just say that you stay at a hotel, and hopefully you would stay more than just once per year, but let's say you did stay one time per year. You're going to automatically get back every year $50 in an annual hotel credit. So effectively, your quote-unquote annual fee for this card now is dropped down to $45. It's not the full 95 because you're utilizing, and that's only one of the many benefits on the card. They also added a 10% anniversary boost. So for whatever you're spending, you're going to get an additional 10% in additional bonus points. And there's all types of different multipliers. So if you're using travel, you can earn points on travel purchases if you do it through the portal. You have a multiplier, like a 3x on things like restaurants and dining and so on and so forth. Double points on travel purchases. There's so many different ways to use the card, but the Sapphire is kind of one of those must-have cards. And the biggest reason, and I've struggled with this, I've gone back and forth. I'm like, do I really want to pay an extra $95 again this year? Like, I got the sign-up bonus. That's where the most of the value is. Why would I keep this card? And one thing I didn't realize, and I know there's a ton of people out there, because I know a lot of them in my personal circle, who have cards like the Chase Freedom, which is free, or the Chase Freedom Unlimited, which is also free. And there's nothing wrong with those cards. Those cards are fine, but they're free cards. And remember, we talked a little bit about having these paid premium cards. One of the major things that you get with these premium cards that you do not get with the free ones, and I kind of call this almost like a cheat code, is when you go into the Chase portal, you have the ability to transfer points, these ultimate rewards points, to different travel partners. And this is actually probably a decent segue into the Southwest card, which is also a Chase card that we'll get into here in a minute. But by having this premium card, it gives you the ability to transfer these points. So let's just say, hypothetically speaking, I had 50,000 points and I accumulated that over years and years and years of spending because I never signed up for these premium cards and I never got any of these sign-up bonuses or whatever, and I just have a regular Chase Freedom card. If I want to go into the Chase portal and transfer those 50,000 points or whatever portion of those points I want to say one of their travel partners like a United or a Southwest Airlines or one of the hotel chains that Chase has a partnership with, I can't do it because I just have the free card. But with the Sapphire Preferred, that $95 pretty much is the cheat code that allows me to go in there and then transfer whatever amount I want. Usually it's in increments of 1,000 of these points to one of their travel partners. So let's say I go on southwest.com. I love Southwest. I will never fly with any other airline personally. I know Travel Queen might disagree with this and maybe she'll change my mind by the end of the show, but I love Chase. And I'll never forget when I got free drinks and they came back with a basket of snacks and they said, would you like something? Sure. I took a pack of Oreos. And then they asked me the most important question I was asked on the flight. Would you like anything else? And from that moment on, I was sold. I took another thing of Oreos. But anyway, I digress. As far as the kind of the cheat pass or cheat code for the premium cards here, I can go on there because I have the Sapphire Preferred. I can transfer that same 50,000 points over to Southwest. And I can go to Southwest website now, and I've transferred my points over to my Southwest account. And I can redeem those points for a free flight. I couldn't do that if I didn't have a premium card like the Sapphire Preferred. And there's also multiple other Chase Southwest cards, which we haven't really gone into Companion Pass yet. I'm going to get into that next. But I know, I think you came off mute there for a second, Travel Queen. What do you have to add about this part here?
I was just going to laugh and say Southwest is not my favorite, but I would fly anything for the right price.
Yeah, I guess that, yeah, when the right price is free or just the 911 fee, I guess that makes it a little bit easier, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, so let's talk real quick about the Southwest Companion Pass, and then I'm going to turn it over to Travel Queen for a little bit, and she's going to talk about kind of what she looks for in terms of travel points and offers and how she picks her cards. I just want to cover the two that I use. So, and we both actually use the first one, which we just covered, which is the Chase Sapphire Preferred. Really nice sign-up bonus, $95 a year, $50 annual credit for hotel purchases. There's a 25% multiplier on your points. So if you have the 60,000 points for $600, you can use them as $750 towards travel. And you can now, with a premium card like the Preferred, transfer points to any of the travel partners that Chase has. And that's something you could not do with just the free cards. And to be honest, that's the primary reason that I personally keep the Sapphire Preferred every year. And there's other cool shit, like, you know, I think I get an annual, or at least the first year, of DoorDash, which is normally like $100 or something like that. That's a free subscription, which they're ridiculously overpriced, as is everything else these days, so I try not to use that much. But if you're into that type of stuff, there are other benefits to these cards that come with a lot of these premium cards. There's certain cashback offers by using the card itself that you can find within the portal, and I have multiple Chase cards, and normally the premium cards, I get better cashback offers than I would on the free ones. That's not always going to be the case, but generally speaking, that's true. So that's the first card, Sapphire Preferred. And then the second one is a Southwest card, which is also issued by Chase. And they have several of those Southwest cards. I personally use the Priority Southwest card. It has the highest annual fee of $149, which on the surface sounds absolutely ridiculous. But when you think about it, the way I look at justifying that card, in addition to the sign-up bonus and the companion pass, which I'm going to touch on here in a second, I get a $75 travel credit every year. So as long as I'm flying Southwest, even these a little bullshit 9/11 fees that you got to pay for $11.20, that travel credit actually comes back and wipes those out. So I get a $75 annual travel credit out of that $149 fee. I also get 7,500 bonus points every year, which is the equivalent of another $75 or more. Actually, you'd have to spend generally, if you're just doing a 1% redemption, which we almost would never do with some of these cards, you'd have to spend close to that to spend the $7,500 to get the 7,500 points. But it's another $75 of value. So right there on the travel credit plus the anniversary points, I've already basically broken even on that card. And then I also get 4 upgraded boardings per year. So if you've ever flown Southwest, they do an A, B, and a C group. And if you forget to check in, you're kind of fucked and you're in the C group at the, you know, you're going to end up getting one of the seats in the middle of the plane because Southwest doesn't have assigned seats. So you pretty much board in a certain order. And if you board last, tough shit. So if you forgot, and that actually happened to me one time, I was out in Vegas and forgot to check in for the flight until a little bit later, ended up in the C group, used my card, went up to the desk when I was doing the baggage drop and upgraded it to basically A1 through A15, which boards in the beginning. A group boards first, typically, and then B and then C. So I didn't get stuck between, you know, 2 different people on the plane in the middle seat on the flight. So that was cool. But the biggest thing about the Southwest card that I love and that everybody should try to get if they can is what's called the Southwest Companion Pass. That's kind of the holy grail for the Southwest cards. And so with a Southwest Companion Pass, the way that it works is anytime you fly, you can designate somebody else, i.e. your companion, to fly with you absolutely free, no blackout dates, no restrictions, no bullshit. All airlines are a little bit different, but they can come with you as long as there's an open seat on that plane, and that's for up to 2 years, depending on when you earn the companion pass. Now, realistically, a lot of people that earn the companion pass, it may take you a full year to earn it, so you only have it for that second year, but that's still 1 year of free flights for that second person. And you have to get a bunch of points to earn the companion pass anyway. And so you're going to be booking your ticket more than likely with points. Your companion is going to fly for free. So you're both effectively flying for free. And then you can use things like the travel credits and such to offset those 9/11 fees that you're going to have to pay, which again are negligible, but it's worth mentioning. So last thing I'll say about this, and I'm going to turn it over to the travel queen here. I did do a little research and they have an offer right now on the Southwest card. They're offering what's called a promotional companion pass. So it's only good for 1 full year. They're doing this. It looks like if you earn that pass and you do this offer by the middle of March, March 14th, that you could earn a companion pass that's good through the end of February of 2023. So if you did this now, basically you can get a companion pass for up to a year, which is about all you're going to use anyway. But it's way easier to earn this. I'm looking at their offer and it's showing that you would earn that promotional companion pass for a year and 30,000 bonus points, which is the equivalent of anywhere from $300 to $450 after you spend $5,000 on purchases in the first 3 months from when you open the account, which might sound kind of ridiculous to some people. But again, depending on the strategies that you use, if you have big ticket items coming up, maybe you're buying furniture or you're buying gifts or you have a large home related expense, or you're just using your everyday expenses for 3 months. Even if you spent $1,500 a month on everyday expenses, groceries, gas, you know, entertainment, whatever, and you put everything on the card, in 3 months, there's $4,500 of it right there, right? So it's not that difficult to earn some of these bonuses on these cards, and there's different ways to do it. But I really do like the Southwest Companion Pass, which, you know, we've been using for, like I said, one of us has had it now for basically going on 3+ years. And so, you know, as I said at the top of the show, we haven't paid for flights in over 3 years by using points and using the companion pass. All right. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Travel Queen for her to talk a little bit about some of her cards and the offers and whatnot that she has going on her side. So take it away.
Nice. Now I'm going to have to sign up for the Southwest companion card. I don't have that one.
I'll send you a referral link.
I'm sure you will. So I just wanted to circle back around too, and I was thinking while we were talking just about how it pays for itself within no time. So if you even plan on renting a car, it's going to pay for itself because you can avoid the $11 day fee for the extra insurance, because through the Chase Sapphire, it covers the rental insurance for you. So I can't tell you how much money I've saved in the past few years on every rental that I've had, being able to like just not take the insurance that the company is offering, which is typically around $11 to $15 a day. So that'll save really quickly. It also has a lot of other insurance benefits. It'll cover any kind of like trip delays or cancellations and stuff. So that's really nice, just the comfort of having that there. But what I do, I keep the Sapphire, as I'd said, and what I typically do is use it as just like a checking account. We put everything on that card. Every swipe that I have to swipe my card is on my Sapphire. I just pay it off twice a month. Every pay period, I just go ahead and pay the balance off. That way I don't have to ever stress and worry about it. And the only time I shift all of my purchases to another card is when I open it, a different credit card for the bonus points. Basically, the only reason I defer any of my expenses to any other card would be to get the bonus points. And I was telling Cashflow King earlier that what I do in advance is start looking. So like I'm planning a trip to Greece in June, and I knew I wanted to fly United. It has the fastest flight. I don't want to be on the plane any longer than I have to be. So I'm like, I know I'm going to fly United. Well, I'm going to sign up for this credit card because I can get 60,000 points and use that towards my flight. Even if like I have to use a one-way flight and use the other way on my Chase Sapphire, I'll do that. So ended up signing up for it try to look at it at least 6 to 8 months ahead of time and sign up and use those points. And what I do is before the annual fee comes around, I'll cancel it. But last year was pretty awesome because each credit card has their own little things, but all these airlines, like the American, I've done that one several times. And what I do is I sign myself up for it, get the bonus points, cancel it, then sign my husband up, get the bonus points, and cancel it. So we're always traveling for free, essentially, minus the fees that come in, but it works out. And then in like each card's a little different, but sometimes they have a 24 month period to where you can't re-sign up for it, or some are 48 months. But I plan on continuing this trend of signing up, getting the bonus points for whatever flight that I'm looking at, and then canceling. But my husband and I flew to Hawaii last year, and I didn't realize what this even entailed until we got there, but the card had two lounge passes, VIP passes. So during our connection, we were at the airport, got to go to the VIP lounge and sit there with an open bar and all these snacks. I was like, man, we're really living the dream for free. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, you have to work it in your favor though, because if you end up like, yes, when you open it, you have, I know the American, you had to spend $3,000 in the first 3 months. Well, if I need those points in the first month, I just go to daycare and I'm like, can you put the first, like, I need to go ahead and pay for 3 months. And they laugh at me. But I'm like, I got to get these credit card points. I mean, I'm not going to pay. I don't go out and buy anything that I didn't intend on purchasing before. But if I'm going to have to pay a bill or anything, then I just shift it all to that credit card for the time being until I get my bonus points. And then I put it, but start going back to the Chase Sapphire.
That's a great one though. And I just wrote that down. That's not something I would have thought of for daycare, because anybody that's listening to the show with kids that uses daycare, I mean, I know for some people, from what I've heard, it's more than your mortgage. It can be anyway. And so, or just as close, depending on how many kids you have and how old they are. So like just doing something like that, you're going to spend money on daycare anyway. And if you're using your normal quote unquote average card, most people are probably getting what, 1 to 2% cash back, right? So you put, you know, what is that? $10 for every thousand. So you put 3,000 in daycare, you're going to get $30. Or you sign up for one of these cards and boom, you're getting what, 750 plus or more of travel value, right? I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Right.
All right. So let's see. Anything else that you use as far as strategy-wise to hit, I know we talked about like everyday living expenses, large purchases, you mentioned prepaying daycare. Anything else that people could be thinking about in terms of how they would go about hitting the spending requirement? If they're listening, they're like, there's no way I'm going to spend $4,000 in 3 months. Like, what other expenses are we missing?
You would be surprised. I mean, I take everything. I do my groceries on it, my water bill, electricity bill, everything that can go on a credit card, I put it on there. I mean, I can't do my mortgage on it, but I'm sure some landlords may accept credit cards. I'm not really sure how that works if you're renting. I do all my expenses, like everything that I possibly can. I literally pay my water bill on my credit cards.
Internet, cable, right?
Right.
Or Hulu, Netflix, whatever people are using these days. Any recurring subscriptions, you can channel them back over there for the time being.
This is completely random, but there's also coupon type things that are connected to the Sapphire. You basically go on and there's like a whole list of like coupons is what they look like. And you hit select and that's your, like you've downloaded that coupon to your credit card. So I never dreamed that I would get this much money back, but probably a year or so ago, GMC dropped a coupon on there for 10%. And then lo and behold, I had some issues with my car. Took it to the dealership. They had to fix it. It ended up being like a $700 fix, and I got 10% back, which was really nice.
That almost takes care of your annual fee if you decide to get that card. Yeah, so that's awesome. Yeah, those are the little cash back things, I think, that we were talking about at the start of the show. If you log into Chase, if you have any of these cards, even if you have a free one, but the offers are typically better on the premium, and you scroll all the way sort of to the bottom of your little profile after you're logged in, you'll see, I know one of the ones that we typically like is Starbucks, like 5% back, 10% back. I mean, Starbucks is ridiculously overpriced anyway, but if you're going to drink it and you can get 5 or 10% back, why not? Yours is a way better example. But, you know, even the little things that you wouldn't normally think about, I've seen them, something on there for Best Buy and just all kinds of different things. So, yeah, that's good.
I just hit up First Watch yesterday for 10%.
All right, so let's see. I have a couple examples, and then I want you to talk about some of your bigger trips because I know yours are probably way more exciting than mine. But just going back to the idea of the portal, like, so we took a trip, I think it was, I don't know if it was last year or the year before. We went to Tennessee, and we had all these points from both cards, actually. So I have the Southwest Priority card, like I mentioned, and I also have the Chase Sapphire Preferred. And so we have these points in the portal, and we were looking at a hotel. I believe it was a Marriott hotel. And so one thing that, and I didn't realize this, I kind of stumbled across it by accident, and Travel Queen might have even told me about this. I really don't know where I heard it. So I logged in to the Chase Travel portal, and I can go on there and search for a hotel from within the portal. And if I book from within the portal, then generally speaking, my points on one of these premium cards like the Sapphire Preferred are going to be worth 25% more than they otherwise would be, which is nice. But the other thing that I did was I went directly to the hotel's website on the Marriott to see how many loyalty points it would take to get the same room. And in this particular trip, I think it was something like 5,000 points on the hotel website directly, and it was something crazy like 10 or 15,000 points on the Chase portal. So in that specific instance, it was a better deal to book directly through the Marriott. But the problem was I didn't have any points in my Marriott account. That's where the transfer option, like I said earlier about the cheat code, having a premium card allows you to go in there and hit the transfer points option. So I could go in and transfer, which I did, 5,000 points from my Chase Ultimate Rewards points on my Sapphire card and transfer those directly to the Marriott. And now, instantly, those points are available in my Marriott loyalty account. Now, I don't have a Marriott credit card, not to say that those don't exist, but that's a whole separate thing. But just as a loyalty user, loyalty member there, I log in, my 5,000 points are right there, and then I can book directly on Marriott's website, which we did, and we saved a ton of points by doing it that way. That was one specific trip. The second one, on the other hand, it was cheaper to go through the Chase Travel portal and book with the 25% enhancement on the point value than the other hotel. We were looking to book a hotel to stay. We had somebody's wedding we were going to. And so it was actually a better deal to go through the Chase Travel portal for that specific trip. So I know Travel Queen is probably way better than I am at this stuff, but something as simple as that, just checking in those two different places to see which one is the better deal, you can really maximize the value of the points that you have and use them for different things. I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to her and talk a little bit about anything that she wants to comment on that, and then about some of her trips that she's taken and cards that she's used to go on those trips.
Yeah, I've actually used the portal a lot more frequently now, but I'm all about getting the best bang for my buck. So I'm going to like research to see, I'll go through Expedia to see if Expedia has a better option for a cheaper price than the portal, then I'll just book through Expedia and I'm still getting the extra reward points if I put it on my Sapphire versus going through the portal. But I do use the portal. If you use the portal, you get 5 times the points. So you're really getting a lot more after the fact. You're getting a lot more points out of it if you do use the portal. I think we flew, when we did fly, I used the American Airlines card to fly to Hawaii round trip. My husband and I both, I think we spent, for both of us, $400, which was not bad, to Hawaii. As I'd mentioned before, my husband, my daughter, and myself, the three of us, because she's old enough now that she has to have a seat too, so we all three flew to Aruba for $270, and I'm flying to Greece in June, and now I've got so many of my friends on this credit card, and three of the four of my friends that are going on this Greece trip are flying for completely free through the Chase Travel portal, which is amazing, to fly to Europe for free. So I'm pretty excited about that, but I also work a lot of we're doing a lot of Airbnb. So for all four of us, each of us are going to be paying, and this is like rental car, hotel, ferries, everything that we will, like all of our costs except for food and stuff when we get there, we're all going to be paying $805 a piece for the entire trip.
Wow. How do you use Airbnb? Do you tie that into the portal in any way?
I don't tie it into the portal. I just saw where there's an option for doing that. Before, it wasn't. That is new to me. Really, I haven't explored that a bunch, but with the travel, so I completely drained my points for this trip, obviously. So I was at zero. So now that I've booked all this stuff, I've already back to like I said earlier, like $380-something worth of travel credits, because it accumulates so fast when you're spending it on Airbnbs, rental cars, all of those type things.
So did you get a new card, and then when you book the Airbnb and the rental cars and everything, are you doing it there, or are you just booking that stuff on the Sapphire Preferred that you hold and keep every year?
I booked all of that stuff on the Sapphire Preferred that I keep.
Okay. So you're getting, I think, five times points on the travel if you're doing it that way, and I think it's maybe two times on travel and 5 times on something else related to travel. I can't keep it straight. There's so many multipliers on these cards. It's crazy.
It's true. If you book it through the portal, it's 5 times.
Gotcha. That's awesome. That's great. Yeah, one thing I found out the hard way, I guess it's a good problem to have this year, is when you refer people for these cards. So let me go back. If you're spending money to get these sign-up bonuses, which pretty much we all have to do, and as we said, we're not going out and spending just on ridiculous stuff. It's everyday expenses and prepaying certain expenses and things like that. Because you're spending money to earn these bonus points, and this isn't tax or legal advice. We don't give any advice on the show. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only, as you guys have heard me say a million times, but it's true. That's all tax-free. So those points that are coming to you and the ability to use those points is basically tax-free. So that's another thing. We don't really talk too much about that, but how much do you have to go to work and earn to get the equivalent of $750 after taxes? And chances are it's a lot more than $750 if you're making any kind of money, right? So that's the first thing, is that these points that you're earning for spending is tax-free. However, if you are referring people, and I know both of us have referred different friends to different cards, you can also earn rewards points for making the referral. And because you're not spending any money in that case to get those points, depending on how many referrals you might receive, that can be taxable. Now, if you're referring and getting the equivalent of less than, I think it's $600 a year, then it's not taxable. But I was surprised. I actually just got a tax form from Chase for the equivalent of $750. And the reason is I think they were doing 15,000 points for referrals, up to 5 referrals per year. So it was 75,000 referral points from your, you know, friends and family circle. And they just did the 1%, assuming you redeemed for cash, even though the points are worth way more than that. And I think I'm paying taxes now on an additional $750, if memory serves. That just came in the mail like a week ago. So that's one other thing just to be aware of. If you are referring multiple people on multiple cards and you're over the 600, you may get a tax form for that.
You should have given me those referrals and you wouldn't be having to pay taxes.
I knew you were going to say that. Bad tax planning on my part. We had an interesting conversation one night with some friends and we may or may not have had a couple of drinks. And we started talking about the credit card reward stuff and trying to talk people into considering it and signing up and who's going to get the referral. And I actually don't think that particular person ended up signing up unless you got her. I didn't. But anyway, we definitely have some fun with this stuff. And so that's pretty cool.
I can't tell you how many people have reached out though, because I'm obviously active on social media about all my trips and on there, like, how on earth can you afford to travel like you do? I'm like, only because I'm working the system in my favor. If I didn't do this, I would probably be breaking into all my savings on all this traveling, but I try to go about it as financially smart as I can and not break the bank to do all these lavish travel.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the biggest thing on most trips, and I haven't figured out how to do this yet, is the food, right? The food, in my mind, is always like one of the most expensive things, which if you're using your Sapphire Preferred, I think you still get 3 times on dining, which is nice, but you're still spending a fortune. But if you just think about it for the listener, if you could take out the hotel and or flight from your travel costs, what does that mean for you and your family and your ability to take either additional trips or potentially stay at a nicer place or eat at nicer restaurants or do more activities or potentially stay a little bit longer than you otherwise would be able to because of the power of these travel rewards? And so the way I like to think about it is anytime I'm spending money, it's almost like a little game. Can you put it on a card? What are we working on? And which card should it go on in order to maximize the value of what we're talking about today, which is basically travel hacking? I got 2 more things for the listeners. First one, going back to the Chase Sapphire Preferred, and this is actually a true story that I don't think either one of us mentioned yet. There is a manufacturer warranty extension on a lot of these cards. Some cards, I have a Costco city card for Costco. I think it's 2 years. It extends the manufacturer's warranty by 2 years. The Chase Sapphire Preferred, I believe, extends the manufacturer's warranty for 1 year. So I bought a pressure washer, which I used to wash my car, and that kind of started when COVID was going on and car wash was closed and whatever, and actually kind of enjoyed doing that. And there was, I believe, a 90-day manufacturer limited warranty on the pressure washer. And I put it intentionally on the Chase Sapphire Preferred card, and I declined their bullshit extended warranty that they want you to buy at the register, because in general, everybody has an opinion, but my opinion generally is most extended warranties are a bunch of bullshit. It's a ripoff. But this is a benefit that is inherent to the card. It doesn't cost you anything additional. It's included in that $95 annual fee that you're paying, which, as we talked about earlier, is effectively less than $95 because of all these other benefits that you're getting. And so I put it on that card, and the hose on the pressure washer kept bending. And finally, one day it just snapped and water started squirting out of that little hose. And I'm like, well, this sucks. I could take some electrical tape or something and wrap the thing up. But is the pressure going to be the same? Is it not going to be the same? And then I thought, you know what? I put it on that card for a reason. So I went on and was able to find a replacement part on their website. And I had to submit a couple of things and I had to download a PDF of the actual booklet that contains the manufacturer warranty. But I submitted a claim and they actually went ahead within a week or two. They approved it. I ordered the new item, so it got shipped to me in the meantime. They approved the claim and then they sent me like this, it was almost like an e-gift card type of electronic redemption. And you go on there, I put in my banking information and boom, instantly I had a deposit for the amount of that additional hose that I had to purchase. It didn't cost me anything. But just by using something like a Chase Sapphire Preferred Premium card that has some of these benefits, I was able to get a free replacement hose. I can still wash my car and I didn't have to worry about lugging a big ass pressure washer back to return it. So it actually worked out pretty nicely. So that's the only other thing that I wanted to add about other card benefits. It's not necessarily just about the travel, although that is generally the best way to redeem these points for things like travel, you know, hotels and airlines and things like that. As Travel Queen said, you can redeem it for cash back, you can redeem it for gift cards, and then there's some of the other benefits that we talked about. She mentioned already with the rental car coverage, most of the time, credit card, normally it's secondary, and some of these cars are secondary coverage. The Chase Sapphire Preferred is primary rental coverage, so that steps in first before your personal insurance, as far as auto goes, would step in. So that's another way that, as she mentioned, you can do that and decline the car rental agency's insurance.
I would also like to mention just another pro to the card. I was on a trip with a girl in September, and she got home and her credit card had been fraudulently charged over $1,000 worth of just crap. Even I think one was even what's the Instagram thing that you can look at? I can't even think of it. But anyways, there's all these fraudulent charges, and all she did is contact Chase, told them that these are fraudulent charges, and they took care of it, no questions asked. So it was really nice.
Yeah, that's the other thing. We didn't spend a lot of time or really any time on this, but legally, and again, not legal advice, but the maximum liability for an individual consumer on a credit card is $50. And most card companies, it sounds like Chase included, don't even make you pay that. So if there are fraudulent charges, the most you would ever be on the hook for would be $50. And 99 times out of 100, you're going to be on the hook for zero, as Travel Queen just mentioned here. That's really nice about credit cards. Debit cards, on the other hand, where it's tied directly to typically your checking account, that is a little bit more difficult as far as if shit hits the fan and something happens and getting your own money back. Whereas with these credit cards, you're essentially tying up the bank's money and you have a lot more consumer protections as far as that goes by using a credit card versus a debit card. It's not to say you should never use a debit card, but if you can, credit card is typically going to be the better way to go. And also a lot of the rewards that we're talking about here are typically going to be tied to credit cards because let's face it, it's the credit card industry and the exorbitant interest rates they're charging, and you know, most people unfortunately do carry balances and pay out the ass in interest. That's what allows these travel hacking things to exist. So as we said at the top of the show, you really want to make sure that you're using these cards responsibly and that you're not carrying a balance. So hopefully everything we've talked about today has got you guys excited and you're ready to go out and start doing some travel hacking with credit cards and using them the right way as a tool. As you know, a lot of people like to say, you know, you can use a hammer and build a house with it, or you can turn to your neighbor and knock their teeth out. I wouldn't recommend the second one. But you know, same thing with credit cards. It's like playing with fire, and you just really need to be careful, but it can be a very powerful tool. Last thing I'll say is, as far as the referral stuff goes, we don't really do anything to monetize the show. We certainly appreciate Travel Queen taking the time to be on here with us today. And so if you are considering any of these cards, whether it's the American, the United that she mentioned, either of the Chase cards, the Sapphire Preferred, or the Chase Southwest card that we talked about today, if you wouldn't care, do us a favor, help us out, and email the show, realtalkpersonalfinance@gmail.com. That's realtalkpersonalfinance@gmail.com. And we're happy to send a referral link out to you to sign up for the card. It doesn't cost you anything. It's not going to change the amount of the bonus points that you're going to receive. You literally don't give anything up. We're just kind of forcing the credit card company to give us a little, hey, thanks for sending this person our way for this particular card. And they'll send us some points and then we can continue to do what we're doing. We would really appreciate that. And also, if anybody has any questions, I talked to Travel Queen before the show and she mentioned if anybody has any questions about traveling or any of the trips that you may be planning or, you know, wanting to embark upon, if you do have questions, again, you can email the show and we'll feel free to send those her way. The same email address is realtalkpersonalfinance@gmail.com. And last thing here, as I've mentioned in some of the other shows, if you have a personal finance related question that you would like answered on an upcoming Q&A show, you can also email the show at realtalkpersonalfinance@gmail.com and we'll try to get your question answered. Feel free to make up a name. That's what we do. Have some fun with it. It is an explicit show. Don't go too crazy, but definitely have some fun and we will try to get your question answered on the show. All right, that's all I have. Travel Queen, anything else?
Nope, that's all.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to episode 8, Travel Hacking with Credit Cards. This is the Cashflow King with our guest today, Travel Queen. We will see you in the next episode.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.